Well, hello, my friend. Blessing and peace on you. Welcome, guys, that have plugged into my podcast through iHeartRadio, or if you plugged in through TroyBurr.com or wherever it is that you plug into your podcast. Man, I'm so glad that you're joining me. And I want to remind you that I have a team full of people standing by right now to answer your prayers. And I say to answer your prayers, that's actually the business of Jesus, but to pray with you, to answer your call and to pray with you at 877-413-0888. I'm having a little bit of trouble talking and actually concentrating because I've been fasting a long time. And I do a 10-day fast at the beginning of the year, and I've got some unique challenges like everybody does. I'm dyslexic. I stutter real bad. And I have ADD and all that kind of stuff. I've had all that, of course, since I was a kid. And like, well, I never hear you stutter. That's because there's a tone of voice I can get in, or a rhythm I can get in. I learned in being a singer and in a band all my life that there's a certain rhythm that I can get into. And if I do, I tend to not stutter. And then if I get out of that rhythm, or if I get tired, or if I'm fasting, I start to just mess up. I also am able to fight my dyslexia. I nearly said Lex Dixia. Thank you very much. By actually thinking through way ahead of what I'm going to say. And then like the whole time I'm talking, I'm actually thinking a sentence ahead. And as long as I do that, I can talk fine. But man, I have trouble doing that whenever I'm fasting. So I want to apologize for my rambling. And I want to apologize for my language as I speak to you. I mean, I'm not planning on cussing or anything, but yeah, I do have challenges. But I want to just start off here today talking to you about the importance of prayer and fasting. And then I want to get into the number 21 and what 21 means. I also want to tell you what all we're doing and how all we're doing it. And again, at the beginning of every year, I tend to fast the first 10 days. And for me, fasting is liquid. And I'm not telling you how to fast. That's between you and King Jesus. I'm not going to tell you how long you should fast. But I should tell you this, you should fast. Whatever that looks like for you, you know, Jesus didn't say, well, you should consider tithing, you should consider praying, and you should consider fasting. He said, no, when you tithe, when you fast, and when you pray. So Jesus just took it for granted that every godly person was going to, that was actually going to be a part of their walk. Well, he obviously was not speaking to churches, you know, in the year 2021, when we're so into our comfort and so into our personal safety that that's all we cry is peace and safety, and peace, you know, peace being comfort. And, you know, the Word of God says that when they say peace and safety, the sudden destruction is coming. And I tell you what, the Lord is going to call you into very uncomfortable places. A lot of people don't know that God calls them into uncomfortable places. Absolutely, He does. He sends you out as lambs among wolves, not as, you know, tourists on cruise ships. That's not how He sends you out. And so He'll invite you into very uncomfortable places. And fasting is just very interesting to me. It's been a huge part of my walk. There have been different times throughout my past 35 years of walking with King Jesus. It's been a tremendous part of my walk with the Lord. There's been times I've fasted a lot more than other times. And there have been times I've actually got away from it. And then the Lord told me, why don't you fast? Why don't you seek me anymore? What happened? Where'd you go? And I'm like, oh man, because there's a way that you can only find Him in fasting that you can't find Him any other way. And what is that? And why is that? Because it's so intentional, because it is so, you have to be so focused. You don't just casually fast. The last time, you know, I actually started this fast on December the 31st. Well, the night of December the 30th is when I actually started it. And at the time that I'm doing this podcast, it is the night of January the 6th. And I know that you're listening to this a little bit later than that, but I promise you another big part of fasting and why the Lord shows up is simply because it goes so slow. It just goes slow. And like, well, why would God bless that? Because sometimes you just need to slow down. You need to get still. You need to get humbled. You need to get quiet. You need to get focused. You need to be very intentional. Well, all of that happens with fasting. All of that does. I have a good friend of mine named Howard Richardson. He's a prophetic guy in Dallas, Texas. And that guy has fasted his guts out his entire life. And he's a radical faster, you know, do a 7-day fast, eat one day, and do another 7-day fast, and do that for multiple months at a time. And I don't know, I've done some pretty radical fasts. You know, I've done a lot of 21-day fasts. I've done a lot of 10-day fasts. I have done several 30-day fasts, and I've done one 40-day fast where I did all that. And I just say this, that if you're going to radically find King Jesus, you got to radically seek him. And if you don't want to fast, then don't fast. But because there's not a law that says that you have to fast. There's just a green light. There's an opportunity and there's an invitation to seek him and to fast and to pray and to cry out to him. And I would just encourage you to do that. So I am doing that. And my wife and I went out on a little mini vacation last week to Key West, and we flew out there on a small plane. A friend of mine has a small plane. I said, dude, can I please borrow your plane? Please, please, please. And he said, okay. And we went out there and we prepared all week for our fast and we got ready for it. We had a good time. We did all the fun stuff you do. I went deep sea fishing. We did the sunset cruise. I walked up and down Duval Street. We did all the stuff that you do, and it was a lot of fun. Ate some really good food, which I don't want to talk about eating right now. Thank you very much. But we had a blast. But we did gear up for the fast. And I would say this, that if you're going to fast, and if you're going to fast more than, you know, I don't know, a few hours or 24 hours or whatever, you need to gear up for it. And you need to prepare yourself. And you need to set yourself up for victory. And so we did all that. And on the Friday, which was the 31st, we actually didn't leave the hotel room all day. Like, nope, I am... No, that was actually the first, was on that Friday, I think. It was the first. I didn't leave the hotel room. This is my day of seeking the Lord. I'm talking about all day seeking the Lord. I watched probably 6 or 7 or 8 hours of prophetic videos, of teachings. I went back through my last year and went through what were my favorite teachings and what were those things. I went and caught up on a lot of videos of other people's TV shows that I've been on that I haven't seen. And I had written down all week long things I wanted to pray about. And then I busted out my journals. And then on that day, I would pray about those things and I'd seek the Lord. I want to tell you, I heard God speak in a tremendous way on that first day. And I was like, oh man, this is going to be easy. This is going to be great. And then the next couple of days, the second, third, and fourth day, I really didn't hear much. And I want to just encourage you and tell you this. It's not always about the big bang. It's not always about the big supernatural event. It's just about the fact that this is what you're doing and you're going after it. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. He will know how to show up. He will know how to bless you. And then I had something crazy and ridiculous happen in that on January the 4th, I drove up to Weatherford, Texas on that night because my oldest son, Ben, he turned 30 years old, and his oldest son, Barrett, who is my oldest grandson, he also turned 8. They both had the same birthday. Yeah. So my firstborn son and my firstborn grandson were both born on January the 4th. Mr. Benjamin Allen Brewer and Mr. Barrett Allen Brewer met with me, Troy Allen Brewer, and we all got together and we just went to, I don't know, some silly place, an arcade. We played games. We just did stuff that an 8-year-old thinks is really cool. And we just hung out and we just had a good time and it was awesome. And then on the way home, I got to thinking, I thought, man, you know what? I so wish that my dad was here. And my dad actually passed away in August of this last year. And I was just thinking, man, that fourth generation really needed to be there today. And then I got this idea and I thought, man, I bet you anything I got a voicemail from my dad. And I looked through all of my voicemails and I had erased every single one of them. And I was so upset over it. And I told the Lord, I was on some back road between Weatherford, Texas and Glen Rose, Texas, and I pulled over and I just was broken before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I can't hear my natural father's voice, but I would love to hear your voice. I would so love to hear your voice. Father, I need to hear your voice. And I cried out to him in brokenness and in a time of fasting and in seeking him in a radical way. I went home on that night. I sat down in my chair, turned on the TV, and whatever Christian television station it was on, I happened to be preaching on it. And I'm on Sid Roth's show all this week. And he's actually promoting my brand new book, Redeeming Your Timeline. And the show is really good, and I hadn't seen it. And I was like, oh, wow, we filmed it like 3 months ago. And I was like, oh, wow. And I sat there and watched it and went, well, that was excellent. Man, that was a good show, man. Their producers did such a great job. And so I got up and went to bed, and I had an encounter with God. And I want to just tell you this. On the 4th of January, I had four prophetic dreams. God spoke to me in four different ways. I heard the voice of the Father in such a profound way. And I don't know if I should share this with you or not. I know there are people listening on the radio. And as a matter of fact, you know what? I think I'll tell you all about that right after this break. Here we go. Well, hello, my friends. You know what? We've been working on this the whole year. I'm talking about the whole year. Like, what are you talking about? You've been working on the whole year. I'm talking about our New Beginnings Conference. Now, our New Beginnings Conference is the time of year at the beginning of every single year where we seek the Lord, and then we get together for a huge prophetic gathering from friends all over the planet Earth to actually declare, this is what I believe God is speaking for the new year to come. And I'm telling you this, the Lord has a word for you. Guys, this is actually going to be on January the 19th, on January the 20th, and January the 21st. Come and hear for yourself a powerful word from people like Patricia King.
God is declaring war against darkness. He is declaring war against wickedness. And we, the church, are going to rise up with our God and say, you can count on us, Lord. We will partner with you.
Jamie Galloway.
God sees you when other people have labeled you or identified you the wrong way. He doesn't look as man sees. He looks according to the heart.
Prophet Chuck Pierce.
We have not only entered a new year, we have not only entered a new decade, but we have entered a new era. What we have to be prepared for is this incredible historical shift that we are stepping into.
Rabbi Jason Sobel.
The more the Egyptians persecuted the Israelites, the more they multiplied and spread forth and broke through. Listen, your persecution is going to lead to your prosperity.
Cindy Jacobs.
Oh God, you don't love me. Yes, he does. It's the thief that is your enemy. And God has given us the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead to deal with that. And we've got to learn how to take up our authority.
And me.
This is the year that you turn to see the voice. What does it mean to turn to see the voice? It means new wineskin for new wine. A change is required.
Oh, friends, it's going to be so much fun. And in the midst of this incredible conference, we have things like a star party with a dinner. Like, what's a star party? It's where I have a full multimedia presentation of how the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm going to be going through all the constellations, and it's going to be so much fun. We even have a prophetic business meeting where we're actually going to pray into and speak into your businesses this year. Or if you would prefer, you can just stay at home wherever you're at and actually watch this online, because your ticket is transferable for either an in-house event, or you can actually do a watch party. I don't know, but I do know this. God has a word for you, and he's not going to leave you out. Simply call 877-413-0888. Again, it's 877-413-0888, or you can always find your tickets at troybrewer.com. Come out and join us. It's going to be amazing. I had a dream, and I dreamed that I was in my office, and in my office, I was standing at a table, and all of the pastors and the elders from Open Door Church were in the room with me. And I had in front of me five wooden boxes that had tea that I had collected from different places in the world. And they were in these five different boxes, and it was like very expensive, like Asian tea. But I had actually collected it in my dream from all over the world. And I said, guys, I'm going to blend a special tea, and we're a specialty. I'm going to blend a very special kind of brewed tea, and I'm going to blend it together in this blender, and then I'm going to pour hot water over it, and we're all going to drink it. And this was my dream. And everybody's like, yay, that's cool. And so I was blending this tea together, and when I put together the last ingredients, boom, all of a sudden, miraculously, in my dream, water began to fill up my pitcher with this green tea, this beautiful, beautiful green tea. And it went all the way up to the top, and it began to lightly spill over the sides. And I said, guys, are you seeing this? I was holding this pitcher in my hand, and there was a flow of green tea that was coming out of it. And I'm like, whoa, man, that's cool. Look at this. And all my team began to say, let me have a drink. Let me have a drink. And so we were all drinking from it. And as soon as we started drinking, it began to gush and fill up my whole office. And it began to become much more heavy. So I went out into the main auditorium of Open Door Church, and it began to spill out everywhere all over that. And it began to really gush and fill up everything. And it got about knee deep. And I said, man, we got to take this outside. I set it down out on the parking lot. And immediately this beautiful supernatural green tea rose up out of the parking lot, rose from out of the concrete, out of the ground, out of the street, out of everything. And it created this beautiful, unexplainably beautiful green river that was so beautiful. And immediately people came from all over the world to drink this and to get baptized in it and to get healed in it and all this craziness. And I was just amazed. And after a few minutes of seeing all these people from all over the world, I began to get exhausted. And I was holding this pitcher still. And I turned around and I went inside and I got my office. And as soon as I got my office, I sat down on my couch. There was a knock at the door, and I opened the door. And it was some mama woman. I don't know who she was, but I immediately knew that she was a mama, and she had a son with her that was like, he was like 12 or 13 years old, and he was like in a very awkward stage in his life. He was way bigger than what he should have been. He was probably 6 foot tall, and he was much more immature than what he should have been. And he was just in a very awkward stage of development and growth, like a lot of people went through, like I went through when I was a kid. And he said, I'm here to get a drink. And I said in my dream, it's not here, it's out there. And he said, is that the pitcher? Meaning that this pitcher, this blender thing, was like world famous, okay? It was like this holy relic in this dream. It was crazy. And I said, yeah, man, this is it. It doesn't look like much, but I'm telling you, the power of God is in this thing. And I said, do you want to see it? And he said, yes. And as soon as he held it, he went, whoa, because it immediately held weight. And then miraculously, orange juice began to fill up in it. Not green tea this time, but orange juice. And it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful orange. And as it rose in this pitcher, this plastic pitcher I was holding, I could see whole fruit on the inside. There was a whole orange, and then there was another whole orange, and then there was another whole orange. And he began to drink it, and it began to spill out all over the floor. And I knew what was going to happen. It was going to be exactly like the green tea and that whole experience. And then, boom, I immediately went into the next dream. Now, the second and the third and the fourth dream were just as vivid and just as bizarre as the first dream. And I have since called so many prophetic friends and just said, hey, I want to hear what you had to say about this dream. And I actually knew what it meant as soon as I woke up. Now, I've since unpacked some amazing things. Like my good friend Jamie Galloway told me, he said, hey, Troy, he said, you know that river? That's the river of life that's in the book of Revelation. Like, oh, really? You think so? He said, yeah. He goes, do you remember your pitcher? And he said, yeah. And I said, yes. And he said, remember it had leaves in the first blender, and it had fruit in the second blender. And those things, those trees that are surrounding, that are on the banks of the river of life, have leaves that are for the healing of the nations and fruit that is for the feeding of the nations. And I know for a fact that green represents life. I know that, you know, like blue represents heaven. It represents supernatural things. It represents great things, right? You know, I know that green represents life. I also know that orange represents fire. It represents power, represents the Holy Spirit. It represents the fire of God. Yeah, it sure does. And so anyway, I've since unpacked all that, and it's been extraordinary. And then the second one, it immediately went into the second one, and then immediately went into the third one, and they were all completely different scenarios, but I clearly heard the voice of the Lord. And this is what I want to say to you, all my friends that are listening right now, is you can seek God and you can find him. He will show up. He's so faithful, and he's so much more faithful than you are. He's so real, and he's just so good. And I would just encourage you, in the name of King Jesus, to seek God and to find him in a really, really, really radical way. Just in an extraordinary way. And I want to encourage everybody that in the year 2021, that you become more dependent upon the presence of Jesus than ever before, and that you have a higher value for God's voice than you ever have before. I mean, when is the last time that you just recommitted yourself to the voice of God and said, no, I'm sorry, but I got to hear God speak. This is what I got to do. I have to know the voice of God. I have to hear the Lord speak. I have to. I have a tremendous yes in my spirit because I want to hear the voice of God. I want to tell you, if you're desperate for that, blessed is he who hungers. He shall be filled. There's a special blessing of filling for you that is dependent upon your hunger. I think in 2021, just prophetically speaking, just concerning all the mess that's going on politically, the absolutely demonic agenda of the left in our country to take away freedom from people, to literally shut down the voice of the church, to not allow the church to have any place within society any longer, to shut down and make it taboo, make it wrong, even make it illegal to gather to worship. Oh, yes. That whole mess, we want to abort as many babies as we possibly can. We want to convince your child that they were not born the right gender. All that madness, the whole leftist, socialist, Marxist thing of you're not allowed to make money, you don't need to make money, and if you are working hard for a living, you are somehow the bad guy. All of that mess that all of us see, I want to tell you, in the midst of all that mess, the Lord is going to respond this year with a warfare kind of anointing for his people. And I truly believe it's a lot like the difference between the first time Jesus showed up, he showed up as a lamb. The second time he's going to show up, he's going to show up as a lion. And I think that there is a tremendous anointing for warfare. And it's going to separate a lot of the body of Jesus, just like last year did. In the year 2019, friends, there was a tremendous separator that came in to every single leader in the body of Jesus, and everybody had to decide, are we going to be fearful or are we going to move forward? Are we going to listen to the narrative of the world or are we going to listen to the voice of God? Are we going to silence ourselves and put a mask over our mouths, or are we going to preach the presence of Jesus? Are we going to yield to those who say no, 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 or are we going to yield to King Jesus who says go, go, go? And I want to tell you, I'm very sorry and sad to say that there's a lot of church leadership that failed that test, and they had to pass that test. They had to. And they just didn't. They couldn't, and they wouldn't, and they really see ministry as a cruise ship and not as a battleship. And what's real is a lot of spiritual leaders were just too. You know, I'm sorry to sound so bad, but here's just what's real. They were too lazy and too preoccupied to do anything outside of the four walls of the church to begin with, and now they won't even gather with their own people inside the four walls of the church. They've set a new low. Congratulations. Da-da-da. That's amazing. Well, no, that's not what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I want to be a fearless demonstration of freedom, of redemption, of the goodness of God. This last year, friends, we were able to save 1,116 girls out of sexual trafficking while the world said, no, you better not. It's not safe. Well, it was never safe to save girls out of sexual trafficking. Never. But you know what? You're not allowed to feed anybody. No, we fed over 150,000 people. And friends, we're a church with just a couple of thousand people in it. We're not a church with 150,000 people. We're a church of a couple of thousand people in it, and we still fed 150,000 people just out of the Open Door Food Bank. And, you know, we built new food banks. We actually built two new food banks last year, two. One in Walnut Springs, Texas, and one in Nicaragua. One in Managua, Nicaragua. I just want to just tell you, a lot of people failed the test, and they gave in to fear. And a lot of people have fallen because of carnal mess within their life, sexual mess, out of control, cheating on their wives, stealing church money, not feeding the poor, having the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam and having a Jezebel and getting in bed with that Jezebel. All these things are what Jesus talks to in the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2. And I want to tell you, it is so important that you pass this test and say, nope, I belong to the Lord. My church doesn't belong to me. My church belongs to Jesus. And whatever Jesus is doing, we're going to be doing it. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Troy, you've just become political. No, I have not become political. I have become kingdom. Read the New Testament. Read the Old Testament and see if it's okay. And see if the people of God, do they go along with Nero or do they stand against him? Do they go along with Caesar or do they stand against him? What do they do and how does that work? And I want to just encourage you and just tell you this, that there is a warlike anointing coming upon the people of God who are brave enough to be sent out as wolves among sheep. And that warfare anointing is amazing to me. It's the King David anointing. Why? Because Jesus is coming back soon, and he's coming back for a church that looks like him. And when Jesus comes back, he's not gonna come back looking like he did the first time. No, man, you're gonna have to make a stand. And tell you this, if you've been avoiding this whole year, and if your church leadership or the people that you love and respect as church leaders, if they have actually been avoiding sides this year, they're already on the wrong side. They should be active. They should be full of the Holy Spirit. There should be signs and miracles and wonders among them. They should be able to easily point to a tremendous trophy of grace and say, look at what the Lord is doing among us. I know that there's challenges. I know that it's difficult. I know that there's a lot of heartache. Oh, I know. See, people who are victorious, man, they make it look easy to be victorious, but it's not because it's easy. Listen, I'm about to let you go, and I just want to just encourage you in this year 2021, seek the Lord and find him and find this warfare anointing that God Almighty can cause you to stand in the midst of anything because you know that Jesus is with you. And I want to pray for you about that. Father God, I want to lift up my friends. I pray, God, that the lion of the tribe of Judah would roar and that we would hear him roar and that we would hear the thunder and that we would know the voice within the thunder. I love you, Lord. I love you, King Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends. Don't forget, man, we got the 2021 conference coming up, and it is coming up. And if you need to call us about that, just call 877-413-0888, 877-413-0888, or you can get your tickets at troybrewer.com. I'm going to let you go. Until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, y'all.